Like to welcome you all this morning. Thank you for being here as we gather to worship and praise God and to teach and study His Word. We're told in the writings of the Apostle Paul, preach the Word, be urgent in season, out of season, and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And we seek to do that. But I want to thank all of the men who came down this week and helped with the work project that we were needing to get done on our roof. So it will be weatherproof for the winter months coming. And we've tried to acknowledge all of you in the bulletin. Thank you again for your help. But I especially want to thank Jim Gilbertson. He was down here every day at his age and just worked tirelessly. And Jess and Ted, thank you for your leadership and your help in this. Jess is not here today, not feeling well, but and it probably is because he worked so hard this week. But he was amazing. I really appreciate Jess and what he did this week. But the other men, Greg was here, and Matt, and Gabe, and Don Revolinsky, and Willie, and Dave. And we're trying to get all of you included there in that. But we really appreciate your help. Thank you so much for giving of your time and your labor. And today we are taking some time this afternoon, especially to acknowledge our three graduates this year, Madison, Bryce, and Hannah, for your work and your achievement in school, both high school and college. And we appreciate that. We appreciate you. We want to encourage you in your life. And I've chosen a text today that can speak to these young people, but to also all of us as we live our lives, the importance of preparing our foundation for the time to come, for eternity, and building our lives on a solid foundation. And we find this in the seventh chapter of Matthew, in Jesus' closing words of the Sermon on the Mount, where he says in Matthew 7, beginning with verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Jesus speaks here at the close of the Sermon on the Mount to each of us to make the choice what we will do with His words. As he spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, many consider the greatest sermon ever preached. And his words that he shared there in the Sermon on the Mount, where he began with talking about the Beatitudes of blessed is the man who is poor in spirit, and on through those showing the key to joy and happiness and blessing from God, that we are to be the salt of the earth, that our life is to be based upon the inward, not the outward motive. The inward thoughts and the inward motive are just as important in the eyes of God as the outward action. And making the priority of our life, the kingdom of God, choosing that over the riches of this world. Jesus closed that by these words in which he exhorts us to not only hear these words, but to do them. And as young people come to the point in your life where you are graduating, That is a turning point. That is a milestone in a young person's life. It is a time to celebrate achievement. It is also, though, a time to prepare for the future, to be thinking very seriously and earnestly about your future life, because now that you have reached this point in your life, you will all be thinking more and more about what lies ahead. And it's so important that as you make these choices, that you begin to think about that in terms of God's will for your life, and building the foundation of your life around Him and His Word, that you might have a solid foundation to build upon. The words that Jesus speaks here in the Sermon on the Mount directly apply to young people. They apply to older people. They apply to each one of us. Because as long as we are living and as long as we have breath, we are in a place where we are continuing to build and lay the foundation for the future to come. And as Jesus warns us, we either do that wisely or foolishly as we go through life. And the question is, for each one of us then, what is the foundation of your life? What is going to be the foundation of your life? Because each one of us chooses that. As we live from day to day, we make choices that determine what type of life I am building and what is the foundation that I am building my life upon. Because certainly that's the key to your life, is what are you building your life upon? In Italy, there is the Tower of Pisa that we have all heard about. And it is an amazing piece of architecture because of the fact that it has stood for 800 years. It was built in the 1100s, and it took 175 years to build. It's 185 feet tall, and it tilts about 22 feet. And it is 8 stories high. But the architect, was it because of poor architecture that it leaned? Was it because of poor planning, poor work that went into it? No, it was because the soil that it was built upon was too soft. And that was learned as it was being built. The architect actually tried to correct it as he was well into his work. But it was too late because that foundation was not laid ahead of time properly. And so it is with many lives today, that there is a need for wisdom in life, for each person to obtain wisdom. The writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her." So he speaks of wisdom as a woman in the feminine gender. But to choose wisdom, to pursue, to obtain wisdom, how important that is for your life. And young people today need that certainly as much as ever before, to go to the source, to go to the water where the wisdom is found, and that source is found in Christ and in the Word of God. The Proverb writer is also well known in Proverbs chapter 3 for saying, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths." God then invites each one of us to build our lives upon Him and His eternal truth, His eternal Word. We live in a changing world. The trends of our day are very appealing. Young people know about them through the media and through the entertainment world that we live in. And yet, these things are very changing. They're very short-lived. They will change again within a short period of time. But God's Word is unchanging, and God's Word is solid that we may build our lives upon. The truth that is found in Scripture is that which saves us from our sins, and it prepares us for eternity, for the day that when we will stand before God. We recall in the Old Testament the exhortation given in the book of Amos, when Amos said, "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." And each one of us must prepare to meet our God. We need wisdom as we live our lives and make decisions on a daily basis. We need to have an understanding of Scripture. We need to have an understanding of the Word of God, because it applies in every area of our lives. It applies when it comes to our marriage and our family. It applies when it comes to the choices that we make and how we spend our money. It applies to the relationships that we have with each other and with our neighbors and with our family and friends. And it applies in the moral choices that we make as we live in a world that is filled with many ideas that are contrary to the Word of God. And our God, who is a holy God, we are told to be apart, to be light, to be salt in this world, to be living sacrifices of our lives. So we need the solid foundation of God's Word as we prepare to go out into the world today to live. Joshua in the Old Testament was told at the death of Moses that he was going to be taking over the reign of leadership for the nation of Israel. And that was a very fearful responsibility placed upon this young man. But he was told in the first chapter of the book of Joshua, verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." God's Word then provides each one of us with the wisdom, the guidance that we need to live life here on this earth, so that when our life comes to an end, we have prepared to be ready to meet God. And in the meantime, to make choices that we can be salt and light and an influence to impact this world as God would have us to do. Each of us then is building a life. Each one of us is laying a foundation. And Jesus said that whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, houses can be built on various foundations, and the house itself may be made of the same material. But all critical is what foundation is it laid upon? Is it laid upon the firm foundation, or is it laid upon the shifting sand? And the house will collapse if it is not built upon the rock. In this case, the teachings, the words of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, we must hear those words, but then we must act upon them, as Ted pointed out earlier. It's a two-part process of hearing the Word and doing the words of God, incorporating them into your life. That's where wisdom comes in, that we not only hear the Word and let it be forgotten shortly thereafter, but we take the words, we build them into our lives, we apply them, we see so many avenues in which they are true, and as we live them out, we become more and more convinced that truly it is God's Word that is made the difference in our life. Jesus then calls for a choice from each of us as we examine His words and as we examine Jesus and we examine the gospel. There's a choice that is called for from each one of us. He said in Matthew 7:13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." We might draw the conclusion there and can hardly avoid drawing it, that if we act upon the words of Jesus, we're going to find ourselves in the minority, usually in the great minority of people. Most people around us that we come in contact with are going to make the other choice, to not listen to the words of Jesus, to ignore them, to let them drift aside. But those few who hear the words of Jesus and do them and build their lives around them, they are those who have wisdom. And they are those who will be blessed of God. So are we wise or are we foolish? He continues and he says, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." We're each responsible then for what we do with the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus calls for us and challenges us to make that choice. What will you do with Jesus? That question was asked at the time of Jesus' trial. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ, and with his words in your life? Will you act upon them? Will you listen to them? Will you build your life upon them? Or will you base your life upon the wisdom of man and the ways of this world in which we live? Jesus is showing us that there's going to come a test. There's going to come a challenge to our faith and to our lives as we are here. The storms of life are going to threaten each one of us. And as we come to that, the solid nature, the reliable nature of the foundation that we choose will be exposed. It will be brought out into the open. But the choice of the proper foundation must be Jesus Christ and His Word, the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 18 that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus Himself is the rock. He is the truth, the Son of God. And Peter confessed that confession. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail." Jesus Christ, then, is the rock that we must build our life upon. And the truth of His Word is what will give us this solid foundation. The storms will come in life. And those storms may be literal storms, but in most cases they're going to be trials, even tragedies that come in life that test the type of person you really are. They test the strength of your character, the strength of your integrity, and your faith in God will be put to the test. So what are some of those storms? It may be illness. It may be the loss of a loved one. It may be financial setback. It may be something within our families. But our faith is going to be tested. And it's going to be put to the test that either our foundation is solid or it will prove to be unstable. And as Jesus is warning here, when that storm comes, if we have built upon the sand, it will crash, it will collapse, it will not stand. And so therefore, hearing is not enough for us in life. The Word of God must be acted upon, it must be obeyed. To be a hearer is the first thing that is required, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But to be a hearer only does not benefit us. James says, "Be hearers Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James chapter 1 and verse 22. And truly, if our life consists of being a hearer only, eventually that will be revealed. That flaw in the foundation of our life is going to come apart. It will not stand up. Jesus continued and he said in James 1 and verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." To have Christ as our foundation of our life is not just a nominal commitment to him. It is not a marginal following of Jesus, but it is to build your life around him, to be solidly rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word. And therefore, it requires study of our part of God's word, to become a diligent student of the word of God, to learn the truth of Scripture and understand it so that we might handle it correctly. As Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God." Some translation, the King James says, "Study to show yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." God's word then must be studied in order for us to not be as the people of Israel who were told in the Old Testament in the book of Amos. They were told that because they were ignorant of God's word, they were going to be destroyed. "My people are destroyed," he said, "for lack of knowledge in the nation of Israel." They did not know the Scripture. And if we do not study God's word, we will not know the Scripture. And we can often act upon what we know with integrity and with intention, and yet we are in error because we do not understand the word of God. And that is due to a failure on our part to study and be diligent in our study of God's word. In order to have the foundation, then, we need to hear and study the word of God and then build our lives upon it. "Whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." The sayings of Jesus Christ truly are all encompassing for our lives. We're told in 2 Peter, the first chapter, that all things that pertain to life and godliness are contained within God's word. And that, as he says, "As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." These things are revealed to us then through the knowledge of God's word, so that everything that pertains to life and godliness, to having a right relationship with God, we're able to know and have access to those foundational truths and principles that we build our lives upon. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And he went on to say in verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." He talks about the law of what we call sometimes the golden rule. He said that "all things therefore whatsoever you would have men do unto you, do also unto them. For this is the law and the prophets." So truly, God's word will prepare us for life if we come to an understanding of it and act upon it. This weekend, we Karen and I were in Des Moines at the marina there, and they're having the boat show this weekend, the wooden boat show, and some beautiful wooden vessels. If you have the opportunity, is still there today. You might be able to see some of these. But we were impressed by those, how old some of these vessels are, how well constructed they are. And they are things of beauty, really. But there's one there that is called the Lotus, the MB Lotus. And it means the motorized boat. This boat was built in the year 1909. And it is a very amazing work there. It was built for an attorney here named Maurice McMicken, who died in 1940. He was a wealthy businessman. And this was the largest cruising houseboat on the west coast of the United States. It was built to be able to go 1,500 miles. And it has within it three rooms that can be rented out. It has a complete inner area, dining area, and so forth. It's 85 feet long. It's a beautiful vessel. But it has stood the test of time. That's the point I'm making. This boat was built to last, and it has gone through many storms out at sea, and it has survived. This is Mr. McMicken when he was piloting the boat back in the day, and this boat is still able to go out and sail the seas today, and you can rent rooms on board it. Stays in Lake Union during the time. So it's a beautiful vessel. But a foundation for your life is a beautiful thing. And your life like that will hold true and will last and will stand the test of God if you build it upon the proper foundation. And that's the key. What will you choose? Will it be the firm foundation of the truth of God's Word? Or will it be the shifting sands of the trends of our day, where instead of listening to God and His words, we want to be hip, we want to be in, we want to be with the in crowd. And that's fine. But when it means that we abandon truth of God's Word and we go the way of the world, then we're making a fatal mistake. In Proverbs 23 and verse 23, he said, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Get wisdom, self-control, and understanding." And that really means that there has to be discernment in our lives constantly as we go through this world. John says in 1 John 4 and verse 1, "Don't believe everything you hear. Carefully weigh and examine what people tell you. Not everyone who talks about God comes from God. There are a lot of lying preachers loose in the world." I realize that's a paraphrase of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. But it pretty accurately sums up what he's saying in terms of our modern world today. We have to not believe everything we hear. Weigh them in light of the Scripture. And that's the only way, as the Bereans did. They search the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. So we're building for life. Young people are building for life. We're all building for life. Sooner or later, the storm is going to test the work that we have put together. And we're going to have to stand before God in that day of judgment when He comes again and answer to Him for the deeds of our lives. If you're here this morning and subject to the invitation of God's Word, we're going to stand and sing that invitation song that's been selected. We hope that if you're here today and you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, that today as you hear these words that are spoken by Jesus, and you're asking the question, what must I do to be saved? Jesus gives us that answer in His Word through His apostles. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, answered the question. He said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We're going to stand and sing the invitation today. If you're subject today to Jesus, to His Word, to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
I am resolved no longer to linger. Singer.